couple of weeks into the lockdown, I had an investor call me and said, "Hey man, you had a nice run. You should probably consider shutting the company down."
Building a company from nothing is freaking hard. Us entrepreneurs are expected to deal with unimaginable challenges and somehow keep a cool head through it all. This is The Art of Entrepreneurship, and I'm your host, Jackie Hermes. I grew my company, Excelity, from 0 to 7 figures with no partners and no funding. The Art of Entrepreneurship is a show where we cut through the BS and dig into what it actually takes to start and grow a company. If you give me your time, I promise it won't be wasted. Now let's get to work.
Hello and welcome back to The Art of Entrepreneurship. Today's guest has built a company that has stakes that are a little bit different than some of the other founders that I talked to, and stakes that hit really close to home for a lot of us. Our guest is Dilip Rao, and he is the founder and CEO of ShareBite. His story isn't just about scaling a company. It's about turning a life-altering experience into a mission-driven business without losing sight of profitability, which cannot be an easy feat. ShareBite has grown into one of the fastest-growing tech companies in North America, and it powers meal benefits at some of the world's most influential companies while still remaining driven by its mission to get every worker fed. During our conversation, Dilip and I talked about purpose, leadership, hard decisions, and what it actually takes to build a company when the mission isn't just a tagline or a vision or something that's pie in the sky. It is real and it affects workers every single day. So this episode is especially relevant for you if you are trying to balance growth with impact and do both well. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. I think there is so much good conversation to have around not only your business, but the mindset and the why. So let's start there. Tell me a little bit about your company, ShareBite, and then also tell me about the why behind it, like why it is hunger the problem that you chose to approach as an entrepreneur.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on here. ShareBite is an employee meal benefits platform, and it's built exclusively for companies. And we have a mission, which is to get every worker in America fed. And oftentimes I get the question, get every worker in America fed, like, what does that matter, right? And it's one of those things where if you have friends who are, you know, from Europe, or Brazil, or pretty much other parts of the country, in nearly 40 countries around the world, it's actually a standard practice to feed your workers. And it sounds like a novel idea here in the United States. It's essentially the Wild West, but Brazil's not the only one, right? Belgium's got it. Portugal's got it. France has it. There's so many different countries in Asia, in Europe, Latin America, have all codified some version of meal benefits. They call it meal vouchers in those countries. And, you know, I look around and I see that not only do we not have that as a standard practice or any legislation surrounding that, but in the United States, you know, we just went through the whole SNAP crisis, you know, and that affects all Americans, no matter, you know, what walk of life or, you know, where they live or who they vote for, what belief system they have. Hunger is one of those things that it really just has no, it just doesn't discriminate, right? It doesn't look at racial, yeah. It doesn't look at gender. You face it. And some of the people that, you know, in that 49 million people, that's the reported number, but I read nearly the unreported number is nearly three times that number. So you're looking at roughly close to half of the country's population that is structurally food insecure. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And this is the greatest country on earth. And we cannot continue to do that. And I think that there's a better way. And what I think that the SNAP crisis that we, you know, that we went through at the end of 2025, what that demonstrated to us was that society largely hangs on by a few kind of strings, and that's a one-trick pony. And you cannot solve hunger in this country systematically by relying on public, you know, assistance, because SNAP is an important program, but it still doesn't cover everybody that actually is food insecure, right? It actually has these other incentive programs. So my thing was, let's figure out how to align the incentives for the private sector to step in and solve one of the greatest problems that we as a country face today, which is hunger. And we're going to do it in the way that it's been done. The template's been that it already exists and it's been established globally. And, you know, that's been our mission. And we've been at the leading edge of that conversation, thankfully. And that's why we do what we do. So today, we serve some of the most important companies, not only in the United States, but in Canada, as well as the United Kingdom. We just announced our expansion there recently. And the type of companies that we serve range from, you know, they're all household names, right? Whether it's your favorite AI company, it's your favorite car manufacturer, it's your favorite, you know, professional sports team, all the way to sort of household names.
Absolutely. I'd love to pivot a little bit. You've been running this company for nearly a decade, and you, I'm sure, have learned a ton and been through lots of trials and tribulations. Like, for example, I can't remember where I read that you faced a lot of challenges during COVID, which many of us did, and you forewent your salary and moved into your in-law's basement. That is a move that I feel like a lot of people wouldn't have made. Tell me about that, and what did you learn? I bet you learned quite a bit about leanness as a company.
I can't believe that was, you know, close to 6 years ago, but time truly flies. So look, the company was doing well at the time. And when COVID hit, it went to zero. And I remember a couple of weeks into the lockdown, we're living in New York City at the time. I had an investor call me, I can't forget these dates, called me on April 6th of 2020 and said, "Hey man, you had a nice run. You should probably consider shutting the company down." And I was like, "Thank you for that."
That's a crazy, nice call to get. Thanks.
I'm not going to be doing that. Exactly. Well, if I've learned anything throughout sort of living through a bunch of crises in my life, whether it's the financial crisis or some other things, what you realize is that humans are programmed to have a short-term memory as it pertains to moments of crisis, right? You genuinely want to work yourself out of it and you don't want to remember it. You want to be distracted or you just want to like forget about it and move on. And from an anthropological kind of standpoint, that's helped us as a species, thrive really well, all right, in times of crises and whatnot. So the thing at ShareBite is that you'll never hear people say the following words: "So-and-so works for me." We have what I like to call as an inverted leadership model, which is if you have direct reports, you are responsible for those people. So in other words, they don't work for you. They work for the company. You work for them. One thing that I have been very committed to personally is that there's a model of responsibility that you kind of have to embrace. When I first started working on this thing, I thought entrepreneurship was about, ideas and execution. And what I didn't understand was that, and you come to this realization over time, it becomes about responsibility. And you're responsible for people's livelihoods, their families, and you're responsible for making decisions so long as they continue to work with you. You're responsible for making decisions that impact and shape their lives. And when you zoom out and think about why people do what they do, and you sort of like understand that perspective, that's a shift that not only changed, how I lead, but, who I had to become for that. So that kind of starts with that mindset of like, well, I work for our people and I have to make sure that I do everything in my power to make sure that they're going to continue to be here and be successful at that. So yes, anytime that we have ever run into some kind of a difficult situation or crisis mode, my salary has gone to zero first. So in a weird way, the company sort of got restarted once again in 2020, and we resurrected it out of my in-laws' basement. And by the time I was leaving my in-laws' basement, you know, roughly a year and a half later, I had multiple investors being like, take our term sheet, right? What's it going to take, right? What's it going to take? And so, you know, it's a blessing to be able to do that, but it's really that model of responsibility, knowing that every single day-to-day task while the company, everybody that works here continues to take care of our customers and be obsessed with them and love our customers every single moment. Our management team, our execs, and most, you know, I think most importantly me, I have to work for them. I have to make sure that I plant the seeds so that they all do really well in life at some point, right? So that's been my sort of selfish dream. And it's really gratifying today because we're one of the fastest growing companies in the country. I think 24 was our first year on the Inc. 5000. We were number 56 out of the 5000 in terms of fastest growing companies. I think we were like 321 last year. With Deloitte, we were like 70 something, right? So
that's incredible.
Deloitte Fast 500. So it's been quite the journey, but many of the people that were here with us back then are still with us today. And I think that it comes down to trust and faith in not only the people that they work with every single day to build this company, but our model of, you know, purpose-driven, you know, mindset and inverted leadership model where it's like, I work for you, not the other way around.
All right, y'all, it's shameless plug time. I want to take a quick break to chat with you about Excelity, my full service marketing agency. For the last 12 years, we've been working closely with B2B software and service companies. Now we are expanding and looking for growth stage companies with a bold vision, but maybe lacking the marketing strategy or resources to get there. Or hey, you might have resources that just aren't working out. We definitely see that all the time. At Excelity, our team gets results and we have a ton of fun doing it. I'm sure you can tell that from listening to this podcast. So if you or someone you know is a fit, check us out at excelitymarketing.com or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn.
Is it not a leader's responsibility to account for, you know, like, say it's not COVID, but there are a lot of businesses that they overhire, they do certain things to solve problems, and then when it doesn't work, they just cut all of the labor instead of saying, maybe I should be looking at my decision-making, our leadership performance, what I'm paying myself. During COVID, we did a very similar thing where I had an advisor that said, okay, let's rank your employees. These bottom five need to be cut. And I said, absolutely not. That is not happening because it's not their fault that this is happening. And we have a responsibility, just like I was sitting at home with my kids for an entire year, which talk about forgetting about COVID. I feel like I've blocked all of that out. My team was too. So it's not time to just cut their lifeline and say, oh, sorry, this is happening, but we're done with you. And we have a really high average tenure, in, I think, in exchange for those actions. So what you're saying is really, really resonating with me.
And don't get me wrong, like we went through that too, right? In 2022, we raised a very large sum of money and we thought that we could be somebody that we never were, right? And so, yeah, we overhired and we ended up having to make all those changes. But that's nobody's mistake. That's always my mistake, right? When the company does well, it's because of everybody else. When the company makes mistakes, it's always because of me.
Yes.
And that's the only way this thing works, right? You know, I don't want any credit. I don't want any of it. I largely want to be like left alone and forgotten. If I could just be in a forest reading books all day long, I'd be happy as a clam, right?
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, it's like we set out on this journey. And if we didn't make those changes in 2022, the company wouldn't be here today. And, you know, the thing is that our mission of getting every worker in America fed, it goes beyond our own company, right? We have a responsibility to this country and every single worker, every single family, every single parent that is struggling to provide for their children. I want them to know that, like, there's, you know, companies like us that are obsessed. They won't even know who we are. They won't know who I am. they probably don't know what the company does. We are obsessed with making sure that we take a little bit of the burden of their day-to-day. We make it a little bit better and easier for them, right? So, absolutely. Yeah, so like if we hadn't made those changes, if I hadn't made those changes and changed course in terms of, you know, this is not the direction we should be going as a company, we wouldn't be here today. And the detriment would be to the rest of the country and every single person that we aspire to get fed. So the fact that we are a thriving business today, I mean, like last week was our best week ever in the company's history. And this I can't even count, but every single day in the last 2 weeks since the beginning of the year has been a record in terms of, you know, transaction volume for us. So it's like, it's a company that is genuinely worth rooting for because, you know, we're working for you and absolutely. We're doing everything possible to make sure that we make a difference in people's lives.
I love that. Okay. With a few minutes left, I wanted to ask about you personally and how you work. I know most leaders that I talk to, they have their habits or kind of rules or even mental frameworks that dictate how they work, how they operate as a leader, how they handle their day-to-day. What do you lean on to like stay clear-headed and stay focused on your mission and your work?
You know, I read a quote that derived a lot of inspiration, and it was, you don't build strength by feeling powerful. You build it by showing up when you feel powerless. That one hit me hard. And, you know, so on my calendar at 7:45 a.m. every morning, every single day, it has one reminder, do the hard things first. And for me, that question about how I need to show up for our people, it's been a learning process for sure, right? I didn't realize that when I became founder, that the company would eventually demand more like emotional maturity than technical skill, right? There's a time that I prided myself on being an engineer or, you know, former investment banker, but it was really, you know, emotional maturity, psychological awareness, self-awareness, you know, all of those things, right? Every single stage forced me to confront parts of myself, whether it's ego, it's fear, it's control, stuff that you can't outsource and stuff that you can't also avoid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't avoid yourself. And I do think we've been in business for nearly 13 years now. And I have had to confront every version of myself along this journey, the version that, you know, would get unhappy with people and, you know, that wasn't always as professional as needed to be. And, you know, like in my earlier days, or the version that didn't know how to be a good leader, manager, coach, even just friend to people, right? And as you go through this journey and you confront those versions of yourself, you either have to figure out how to level up or you have to move out of the way. And the figuring out how to level up is, it makes you better in every way, personally, professionally. What is the biggest challenge that you faced during that time that you had to kind of push through and like in yourself?
You know, in hindsight, it all looks like super linear, right? Because building the business is one thing, but in a weird way, for founders in general, at least the ones that I come across, you hear sort of thematically the same exact thing, right? Building the business ends up becoming a parallel process of essentially building yourself. You know, for me, there is no other way, right? You have to make that sort of decision. They say burn the boats. When you start building a company, you've also embarked on a parallel track to building yourself. And like, it's all hard. And, you know, whatever, you know, outcome that you cherish and desire is always on the other side of the hardest thing that stands in the way that you don't want to be doing. And so, for me, the real work has been endurance, right? So being clear-eyed, clear-headed through uncertainty, making hard calls when there's no obvious right answer, learning how to carry responsibility without letting it harden you too, right? And so that's been the most unexpected part of the journey. And I will tell you that having children helps tremendously because they tell you the truth, unlike anybody else.
I know.
They tell you the truth. And, you know, if you ever want to get truth serum, overload, have a child, especially one that, you know, is a toddler and beyond, that, you know, tells you exactly, who you are, that you're trying to lie to yourself. So look, I think that there's every human being has a dichotomy of themselves, right? There's the outside version of what everybody else sees. And then there's the person that you stare at in the mirror every single day. I think for me, much of the growth and the journey has been trying to figure out like how I'm going to show up for myself, who I choose to be for myself before I choose to be something or somebody for everybody else. And so it really starts with that kind of framework.
I love that. I think that I don't think I've ever heard it so clearly described that when you go on that entrepreneurial journey, you're actually on a journey with yourself and a journey of self-transformation and facing yourself over and over again. And that is something that I don't think anyone thinks about when they start a business. They have no clue. And so hearing you talk through that was really valuable. If you had one final takeaway for our listeners today, what is it?
The best advice that I ever got, and the best advice I can then impart onto others, is to run your own race. I said this to my 9-year-old recently, you know, comparison is the enemy of joy. And it's easy to kind of, you know, look at your social media feeds and see fundraising announcements or exit announcements and all these other things that happen. But like everybody kind of weirdly wants that outcome. There's, you should never compare yourself to that, because number one, you don't know the sacrifices or the journey that the people that accomplished those things had to go through to get there. That's number one. And that's not for everybody. But also, like when you run your own race, you end up being much happier in the journey because you know why you're doing it. You have a fundamental why as to why you began that sort of journey in the first place. And so, run your own race is probably the best advice that I've ever received. And I will not take credit for that. I'd love to pass that on to others who are probably listening or at crossroads in their own lives on, you know, what to do or whether they should actually take the leap towards, you know, sort of the next thing and creating value for others and, you know, and in exchange, feeling fulfilled in doing what they do. So, yeah, so for me, that a near-death experience completely changes it, right? Because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around, but in my last moments, I want to be able to look back at my life knowing that I did everything that I could to commit myself to a world of abundance and work towards that, you know, in a fearless and relentless manner. So that's how I think about it. And I hope that, you know, that resonates with people that are listening.
Oh, it will. I know it will. Thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I loved learning more about this, your story, and everything beneath is the way I'll put it. For everyone listening, please share this with one person that needs to hear the message that we talked about today. And I will talk to you next time.